is speaking to us now, not only from the law and the prophets, because the word of God is cumulative. And it builds line on line and precept on precept and here a little, there a little. And it builds in typology and it builds in God's systems and it grows and it becomes more profound. And it's like entering into the tabernacle and it's brass in the beginning and it's solid gold in the end of it. And that's the process of God. It gets deeper and richer and better and stronger as you make your way. And Jesus is a better high priest. And our covenant is established upon better promises. And these are the verbatim words of the book of Hebrews. And so the book of Hebrews is going to have a lot to do with transitioning from the law of Moses into the time of the Gentiles or the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we are introduced here to the idea that God spoke through Moses and the prophets, and now God has spoken by his son, and now as by extension, the son and his apostles have created what we call the New Testament. But it's a higher and a clearer vision of the things of God. And it's interesting to me because there are so many naysayers and so many critics, but you have to understand that Jesus and the apostles all quote and preach from and support the body of the Old Testament and the scripture, and they never question the canon, and they never question the stories, and they never undermine it. The only thing they do is like Matthew and behold, and they show you where it complements what is developing, and they show you how it builds, and they show you how God reveals himself. And so Jesus nor the apostles ever had one critical thing to say about the Old Testament. I want you to understand this, that by the time of Jesus, you had the Septuagint, you had the Old Testament in Greek, all the way from Genesis to Malachi, and you had it in Hebrew in the synagogues, and you had it in Aramaic. It was already there, already embodied. Your Bible, Genesis to Malachi, was already there. Jesus quotes it. Jesus lives it. Jesus is the product of its prophecy. And he never raises the first question. I want you to know that Bible you have in your hand right now is perhaps the greatest miracle you'll ever encounter in your life. The fact that God has brought it to you in its form. You know, he hid that Dead Sea treasure trove of scripture until 1948. And that was the very year that Israel came back into the land. But so many critics talk about how did those scriptures go through the belly of the Roman Catholic Church and through the Protestant Reformation? How do you think possibly it ever came to us in 2015 and has its original intent or its original form? And then in 1948, the kid's throwing rocks at Quan Rum and he finds the Dead Sea Scrolls. And do you know that every one of your Old Testament Bibles is Bible books is represented in the Dead Sea treasure trove of scripture, and with the exception of Esther, and I could go into why they probably didn't copy Esther and store Esther away, but your Bible, your Isaiah is the Dead Sea Isaiah. Your Bible reads just like the Dead Sea Isaiah. That, my friend, is miraculous. That, my friend, is impossible, and yet you hold it in your hand. I had four Bible studies today, and we opened up that book, and we read from that book, and it's the same as it was when Jesus walked and Jesus preached from it and the apostles preached from it. Don't you let anybody take away from the glory and the aura and the power of the word of God and the power of the God that gave you the word. Let me tell you something. It is miraculous that we have that word in our hand tonight. It's a powerful, beautiful, wonderful, redeeming word of God. And so he used to speak to us by the Old Testament, which is called the Law and the Prophets. And now he's speaking to us by his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus has ascended into heaven and now rained down his spirit upon everybody with an open heart. And now he's talking to us by the Holy Ghost. And now he's talking to us by the New Testament, which is the written story and chronicle of the apostles and of the followers of Jesus on earth. And so now he's talking to us in a little different way. But I'm happy to report now that God is still speaking. that God yet speaks, that God didn't quit talking when Moses breathed his last breath, that God didn't quit speaking when the veil in the temple was torn. I'm so glad to tell you that God's still talking tonight. He's talking by his spirit. He's talking by his word. He's talking in dreams and visions. He's talking to his people. He's breathing on us in this building tonight. He's been talking to you on the job today and down at your house. And it's the word of God and the spirit of God moving in you. And isn't it a great thing that God is yet speaking to us? Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures. This is the bubble on the front page of your Search for Truth Bible study. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. God's testimony, God's testament, God's story, God has placed it there and given it to us in written form so that anybody and everybody can have access to it. Praise God. The law and the prophets, that phrase means the Pentateuch, the law, the first five books that Moses received from God on the mountain of Sinai, and then Joshua through Malachi would be the prophets. And so when Jesus is saying the law and the prophets, he's talking about your Old Testament. Luke 16, beginning in verse 16. The law and the prophets, the Pentateuch and the Old Testament books beyond that, were until John, speaking of John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. He said, all of this word's going to come to pass. Everything I've spoken is going to happen. You better get on board with the word of God, because everything God has said is going to take place just like he said it. But he said the law and the prophets were preached, but now the gospel of the kingdom is preached, and now every man presses into us, into it. Pressing into the gospel is the language of the tabernacle, the language of the temple. The high priest pressed into the veil and made his way into the Holy of Holies. And now Jesus said, now the gospel is preached and you press your way into it. It speaks of access to the holy place of God, which is a wonderful thing. And it also speaks of the proactive approach of the individual. You press, you exert energy. God doesn't come out and get you, and some mysterious invisible force doesn't drag you in, but by will and by purpose and by decision making, you say, I'm going to get to where God is, and you make your way into the presence of God. Jesus said, now the gospel is preached. He's talking about the New Testament that is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And he builds up and memorializes the word of God, Jesus does. Luke 16:31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I've heard people insist that if they could see a miracle, then they would believe. But nowhere in the word of God does it give us any evidence that miracles engender faith. Miracles do not produce a godly lifestyle in you. Miracles don't bring you to God. Miracles don't fire up your faith. You may think that they do, and there are many people that pursue miracles. But Jesus said, if you don't believe the book, you wouldn't believe even if someone stood at your bedside tonight and you knew they were raised from the dead. He said that wouldn't impact you as much as the word of God. He said you need to believe the word of God. If you're going to engage God, you're going to engage him at his word. If you're going to find God, you're going to find him in his word. If you'll do business with God, you're going to do business with him in his word. Praise God. Israel was covered up with miracles. From the plagues in Egypt to the manna they ate every day, it was miraculous, and they died of unbelief in the wilderness. They had a tower of fire and cloud every day and every night, and they died in the wilderness of unbelief. God changed the bitter water to sweet. He gave them meat to eat. He gave them victory over their enemies. They had miracles on every side, but the miracles never do produce faith. When you're hungry after miracle, you remember Jesus said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. I want to see everything God can do. I love to see miracles. I want to see one of every kind and 100 of every kind and maybe 1,000 of every kind of miracle recorded in the Word of God. I'd love to see that, but I want you to know what he's talking about. He's saying, don't let your faith be predicated on what you get to see happen on a natural plane. Your faith is rooted in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and that by the Word of God. Praise God. So Jesus and the apostles look back and they affirm and they corroborate the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And the Old Testament by prophecy corroborates the New Testament. Isaiah 53 tells you all about the substitutionary sacrifice that Jesus is going to be on the cross. Psalms 22 is 1,000 years before the cross, and yet it tells you that they're going to pierce his hands and his feet, and they're going to gamble for his garments. Zechariah chapter 12 tells you that God himself is going to return to Israel. This is something that hasn't happened yet. He's going to return to Israel, and they're going to see the wounds in his hands. They're going to look upon him whom they have pierced. It's telling you about the New Testament and the fact that the Christ is coming and that he's going to be crucified. In Isaiah chapter 11, there's this marvelous evidence offered to you. Isaiah 11, beginning in verse 10, how that there's going to be a time where a root of Jesse, which is God, is going to be a sign, an ensign, a flag, if you would, a signal to the nations, and that the Gentiles are going to flock to him. You are the fulfillment of that passage tonight. There are many, many prophecies that have to do with a Gentile church, and you are the evidence and the fulfillment of those prophecies tonight. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10 tells us of the coming of the Gentiles to Jesus Christ, and that his rest shall be glorious. And he goes further to say that it shall come to pass in that day, the day that the Gentiles are coming to Jesus, that God will stretch forth his hand again the second time. Everybody say the second time. To recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he says, I'm going to do it the second time. Do you know Israel that is there today? Israel that is there surrounded by her enemies today? That is Israel that has come back twice. She's been scattered twice. She's been gathered back twice. And the word of God is just holding this up like a lamp and telling you everything that God says is true, and you need to get on board with God's word, and you need to embrace it and obey it and pursue it and learn to live for God by the word of God. Praise God. There are infallible proofs of prophecy all through the Old and the New Testament. The Old and the New Testament shine light on one another, and they affirm one another. And the more you get into it, and the more you love it, and the more you read it, the more mysterious and powerful it gets, and the clearer you see the intent and the design of God. The obvious veracity of the Scripture has never been a problem. The Scripture proves itself. The prophecy proves itself. Jesus came to the earth, God, robed in flesh, stepped down out of heaven, gave himself for a sacrifice. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He did the miracles that the Old Testament prophet talked about. And then he laid his life down for our sins. And on the third day, he took it up again out of the grave, having kicked the door off of death and hell and the grave. He did all of that. And the Bible proves itself internally. It doesn't need a man. I'm just telling you this. The Bible doesn't need a man to say the Bible is true. The Bible doesn't need a man's voice to say God is true. The Bible does. It just stands all by itself. If nobody in the world believed it, it would still be the unassailable word of God. God's word is true. If you love his word, clap your hands and lift your voice and bless him tonight. I bless your name, oh God. So it's there, and it's obvious, and it's easy, and an ignorant person can find their way to God. and a person of low IQ can find their way to God. Just don't look left or right. Just look straight ahead and just say amen. But the problem has never been the truth of the veracity of the word of God. The problem is in the hearing. And hearing is a function of will and a function of choice. The writer of Hebrews says, God's still speaking. You look at our world, it's so dark and people are so crazy and there's so much sin and there's so much pain and people are just doing outrageous and bizarre things, and it's just unbelievable how tortured a generation that we live in. But do you know God is speaking just as clearly and just as plainly, and I might say more so than he did 1,000 years ago. I think because you can see the prophecy tonight, you've got more reason to embrace the word of God tonight than you did 500 years ago. But God is talking right in the middle of this day, just like he always had. But the problem is not that God is not speaking. The problem is not that God is not making himself available. The problem is in the hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Everyone say, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, it's possible. I know none of you are even remotely like this tonight. But I've looked right through people's eyes before while preaching to them and could see the back of their brain, the back of their skull, because they're gone somewhere. They're on vacation. They're under a car. They're making banana nut bread. I don't know what they're doing. But they're just gone. They're zoned out. They're not even in the house. They have transported themselves back to the house, the kitchen, the job, wherever it was. And they're not hearing a word I say. And the noise is going on. And they're bathed in the sound waves. But they hadn't heard a lick of anything. And that's exactly what Jesus is dealing with when he says, in the middle of a big crowd, he's teaching. And he says, let those who have an ear hear. And you know good and well about half the crowd, what's he talking about? Because they reach up and touch their ear. And because they all have ears, I think, most of them. Here, finishing in Romans 10, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. The gospel has gone. The word of God has gone into all the world. You want to affirm that? You go to Romans chapter 1, and they are without excuse because they knew God and they worshiped him not as God. The word of God, the evidence of God. You can know God through the power of his creation. God will find you if you are looking for him. He found Abraham in the land, in the pagan land of Ur. God will find you. But you know what people do? People say, well, what about the Aborigine? And maybe they hadn't heard. And in their calculus, in their rationale, they say, well, somebody may not have heard, so God's not fair, and this is not true. So I don't have to do what God has asked me to do. It always comes down to that nub. It always comes down to whether or not you're just going to obey God. And everything else is a farce. Everything else is just a red herring, something to triangulate and distract the conversation from the man or the woman in the mirror. But I'm going to tell you this, hearing God is not a problem because the word of God is not available and the power of God is not real and the word of God is not true, or that God is yet not speaking. I want you to understand it's all in the hearing. Romans 10:19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I'll provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, talking about the Gentiles, and by a foolish nation I'll anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. He said, if I can find somebody that has a heart to live for me, I don't care where they are, I'll find them, I'll draw them, I'll make it available, I'll send somebody to them. But he said, you can have a hard head and a hard heart, and God can't get in. And God can't get in. Hearing is a function of will. Hearing is a prominent theme here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 3:7-8. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, are you okay? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. Everybody say today. If you will hear his voice. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the Holy Ghost is talking today. You know, God is talking today. God will talk to you. God will answer your prayer. God will meet you in a prayer meeting. God will come down in your house, in your car, on your... God will come to you and talk to you today. My God, I'm glad I have a preacher in my life. I'm glad I got a pastor. I'm glad I've got mentors in my life. But friend of mine, God wants to talk with you, because the bottom line is I can only take you so far, but somewhere along the line, you've got to make up your mind that you're going to have a relationship with God, and you've got to be hearing from God on a personal, a deeply, profoundly personal level. The Holy Ghost says today, if you'll hear his voice, what does he say? Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. He said, they tempted me. I reached for them. I couldn't find them. They died of unbelief. They would not hear. Hebrews 5 and 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. The writer here is talking to the Hebrews, and he's telling them, you're hard of hearing. You will not hear God. You won't listen. God himself came down to see about you, robed in flesh, and you wouldn't hear him. Jesus said, we have played, and you have not danced. We have piped, and you have not mourned. He said, you're not responding to us. I'm talking to you, and you're not responding to me. Matthew 11, 15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's a prominent theme throughout the scripture. Revelation 2 and 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. The 29th verse of that second chapter. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This is a repetitive theme in the Gospels, in the Apocalypse, all through the book of Hebrews. God is radio off, or get the buds out of their ears, or shut their own mouth for just a minute to be able to hear from God's talking. God's talking. But who's listening? Is anybody listening to hear from God? You know what we need? We need a word from God. We need a word from God. I need one personally. You need one personally. We need one for this church family. We need a fresh, the word of God is likened to bread. It's likened to bread. And I'll eat any kind of bread, but I sure like it fresh. And I like a fresh word from God. And there's just nothing like it. You may have heard it 1,000 times and God breathes it into you. There's nothing like that when God comes down. And have you ever had God just talk to you very, very straightforwardly, and you walked out and tried to tell somebody else what God just told you, and they didn't receive it at all like you did, because it was so intimate and so personal. God's breathing into your life and he's talking to you. There's not a problem. God is speaking. But the question is, who's listening? Who's hearing God? Luke 18 and 18, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. I want you to understand the brutality of what he just said was, if you're not hearing from God, you're going to lose what you have. You'll be losing ground. You can't. This is not about coming to an altar when you're 10 and getting the Holy Ghost and getting baptized and being a part of a culture or a social group. This is about a vibrant, personal, intimate relationship with God. It is ongoing. It is progressive. You are growing in God. That's the desire of God for you. But it's got to be alive. He said, if you're not hearing, be careful how you hear. My God, I've heard this 1,000 times. Brother Sutton just going on and on. Some little kid last week asked his parents, will he ever stop? 1,000 times. I thought it was real cute. I really did. And I know, man, I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, and it was 15-minute sermons, and they were for eternity. I created games in the songbook. I counted vowels. Will the A's win this time, or will the E's win this time? Let's see. And I mean, I'm playing and playing and playing and playing. And I look up and he's still just blah, 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 blah. I'm 8 years old and I'm dying on the pew. I know how the little fella felt. I really did. The bald-headed preacher's going longer than 15 minutes. He is. He is. But in the house of God, you know, it's amazing. I love being a part of an apostolic church because people load up their phones with sermons. I don't know how many of you talk to me on a regular basis about what you've been listening to on Holy Ghost Radio. You can't get enough. We used to have CDs, and before that we had cassette tapes, and now we've got it all archived on the internet. And you know, it's amazing how much of the Word of God people want to listen to, and some people go to sleep listening to preaching. It's amazing. We are preaching aficionados. We are connoisseurs of preaching. And it's the most wonderful because apostolics are hungry for the Word of God. Do you know there's a lot of churches that can't get a group together on a Sunday night? They can't have church anymore on Sunday night. You know why? Because people are more interested in the NFL than they are in the kingdom of God. That's the blunt and brutal truth of it. But I'd so much rather sit down. It's reminiscent to me. The wife and I were at one of our first camp meetings we went to, and there was a young preacher there named Tommy Mitchell. He went to high school with us, and we didn't know what apostolics were. We didn't know anything about it. But boy, when we got in, we couldn't get enough. So we had gone all day long at camp meeting, and we had preaching in the morning and preaching in the afternoon and preaching at night. Wonderful altar service, just everything great. And we caught Tommy after service and we said, come over to this little chapel over here and preach to us again. And he was like, I had told him that we were from Mars, because he was raised up in the church and he wasn't used to people just having a voracious appetite for the things of God. But we were dead serious. Could you just preach to us a little bit more? Could you just open the book one more time and just give us a little bit more? Because I can't get enough of this. I'm just eating it. I'm taking it in. I need it. I want it. I want more of it. Now, I know you've graduated past that point, because when it hits 8:30 tonight and I quit, not a one of you going to come and say, Pastor, would you come in the back and preach to me again? Would you just preach to me one more time? Nobody's going to do that tonight. Oh, me of little faith. And if you do come, I'm going to say, yeah, you're just yanking my chain tonight. You're not serious about this. Praise God. But you get it. You understand it. Isn't it great to be an apostolic? Isn't it great to be a part of an apostolic church? Isn't it great to be a part of a community that loves the Word of God? We can have a revival. My God. We can have a revival the week before Christmas and people come to the house of God and they're hungry for the Word of God. Praise God. This thing's going to get crazy around here before it's over with. We're baptizing people. I feel like we've got a seasonal thing going on right here. I don't know how you're feeling or what it's looking like in your studies or in your witness or in your family, but I really do believe God's starting to shake something in this city. Those Bible studies in those high schools are starting to shake. Things are starting to, I'm just telling you, I'm feeling a great deal of expectation in my heart. He said in Mark 4:24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. The only way to get more from God is to hear more from God. I want more. So you need to have a carved out time of devotion. You need to have a time when you open the Word of God. You need to have some preaching in your car and some preaching in your phone and some preaching in whatever you listen to, whatever your media source is. You need to have the Word of God there. Or you need to have Alexander Scoresby quoting the Word of God to you. You need to be hearing the Word of God. I started hearing some heavy British accent in my house today, and I got to looking around and Ashley was in the other room listening to the scripture coming to her in fine royal British accent. And I thought, nobody reads it like that. But isn't it wild? Nobody in my Baptist experience ever did that. Nobody wanted to load up on the preaching. They got plenty in that 15 minutes on Sunday morning. They never were wild and just hungry and energetic and proactive about the Word of God. But I so enjoy being a part of an apostolic church where people love the Word of God. They anticipate the Word of God. They'll amen the Word of God. They're hungry for the Word of God. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. God's still talking, but people aren't listening. But if we're going to be the church of the living God, we've got to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Everybody that's got an ear, you better be hearing. The Holy Ghost is talking. And I think it's on the same frequency that that horn's going to sound on. You know that trumpet at the last trump when the dead in Christ are going to rise up? I think it's on the same frequency as this voice that the Holy Ghost is talking to us with. Praise God. Praise God. Matthew 13. And in them, verse 14, this is in the interlude between the parable of the sower and Jesus' explanation for why he teaches in parables. Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, or Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. Oh, you see it in their faces. We tell them, get ready, Jesus is God. And they hear, but they don't understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. I had a man tell me, I don't believe that baptism saves you. And I had him read 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21, where it says, a like figure whereunto baptism even doth now also save us. And he closed the Bible and said, I still don't believe it. And it's exactly what Isaiah is talking about here. You'll see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. It's waxed hard. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. This makes me want to get in a corner and weep and say, God, don't ever let my ears get tired of hearing. Don't ever let my eyes get tired of seeing it, God. Don't ever let my heart get hard toward you and the moving of your Spirit, God. I always want to get excited about the preaching of the Word and the reading of the Word and the study of the Word of God. I just like talking about it. There's nothing that I like talking about more than this. Football doesn't interest me, and all the sports activities and all the attractions and all of the entertainment. I don't really care what's going on your Facebook page unless it's the Word of God. I really don't get out there very much in all of that. But oh, let's sit down and let's talk about the Word of God. You say, well, you're a preacher, and that's why you... No, I was all like this before I ever was a preacher. I was like this before I ever got a calling in my life to stand in a pulpit. I want you to know a hunger for the things of God will keep you alive in God. And an ear to hear will save your life and your family. Praise God. Praise God. So God speaks to us from the Word of God. But God speaks to us and various and sundry and diverse ways. Exodus 33 and 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And you might say, well, I'm not Moses. But you don't know how God's going to speak to you. I'm just telling you, God's still speaking. Who's hearing? Why would he speak to Moses like that? Moses had a marvelous capacity for hearing God. God is attracted to that. I really do believe that the greater your hunger and the greater your desire in that area, the more, didn't he just say that? To those who have, more will be given and in abundance. To those who have not, you don't have hunger. You'll lose even that you have. You'll find yourself sitting in a house of God, cold and hard and lost in the house of God, and your spiritual life falling apart. But all it takes is some passion to catch God's attention. All it takes is a time, a trip down to an altar, and a heart that is contrite and a spirit that is humble and broken before God. And God will talk to that. He will not refuse that, the scripture said. Praise God. God talked to Moses face to face. Here's an interaction between God and Miriam and Aaron. Numbers 12 and 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and Miriam. This is when Miriam and Aaron, his brother and sister, were giving him a hard time because he married outside the tribe. And they did okay while they were in the tent. But when they got outside, then they were disrespecting their authority. And then God stepped in. Come you three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, you hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God speaks. God speaks in diverse and sundry ways, diverse manners. And God speaks to us through his word, and God speaks to us through the Holy Ghost, which is an intimate and a higher, probably a higher visitation than Moses had when he met with God face to face. But God has come to live inside of you. You know, God wants to find somebody today that has a heart that's wide open and a spirit that is hungry for a conversation with God. Lindsay, come help. So Paul is Saul, and he is wreaking havoc of the church. And in Acts chapter 9, he comes near Damascus. And then there's this light brighter than the noonday sun that comes down on him. And he falls to the earth, and he hears a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. By the way, Paul is a monotheistic Jew. And when he says, who are you, Lord? He's talking to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob said, I'm Jesus, and you've been persecuting my people. You're persecuting me. And then he says, isn't it hard for you to kick against the pricks? That means, isn't it hard for you to deal with this situation? You've been trying to tear this down, and now you find out it's me all along. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. When God comes to speak to you, it may be that God's going to tell you something that'll turn your world upside down. I got a feeling there are some folks that avoid conversations with God because they've got some things in their life that they'd rather not change and they'd rather not deal with. And they wanna keep a relationship with God, but at a distance. They're happy for someone else to hear from God, but they're a little bit worried about getting too close themselves. I want to tell you tonight, you're on a fool's errand. And you really, really, you think those little baubles and bangles and little treasures that you have in your life are worth more than a fresh breath of the Holy Ghost? You're wrong. I want to challenge you. Just lay everything down. Draw close to God. Let him breathe into your heart. And whatever he tells you, say yes to him. Say yes to him. A precious couple in this church heard from God just this week. And God told them something that I had known a long time. And he breathed it into their hearts. And it was an amazing thing to see. And I just looked at him and I thought, somebody's hearing from the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't have told them, but the Holy Ghost told them. And they were able to hear. There was a young man in the altar the other night, and he was standing here, and the Holy Ghost was saying, just say yes. Just say yes. Just say yes. My natural mind is saying, but yes to what, God? But he got it. It was like, just say yes. Give me a blank check. Give me full range in your life. Just say yes to whatever I'm going to lay on the table of our conversation. In that place, there is extreme liberty. And I think it's the closest route, the shortest route to joy and peace. And the evidence of every good thing God has for you breaking loose in your life. I really do. Just to say yes. Don't hold on to anything. Come with your hands wide open. When you go into your prayer closet, when you're down in this altar, when you're worshiping with abandon, say, God, I'm here to worship you. and I want you to talk to me, and I want you to know whatever you tell me, I'm going to say yes. Whatever you ask of me, I'm going to say. Is there anybody with a heart like that in the house tonight? Would you really like to hear from God? Now, when you tell him that, he may pick you up by the ankles and shake you out. He may turn your life upside down, but it'll be a great trip, I'm telling you. You'll love everything that he does. Don't be holding on to some meager little stupid thing. Lay it down. Come to an altar and let God talk to you. Let's stand together tonight. If you'd like to draw closer to God, come on down to this altar tonight. Just come on and just say, God, I need a word. I want to hear from you. I want you to talk to me. God, if my ears are hard, touch them. If my eyes are darkened, God, touch them tonight. I want to know your word. I want to hear your plan. I want to see your face. Praise God. God, you can talk to us face to face. God, you can draw close. God, you can wake me up in the middle of the night. Mighty God, you can come on the job. You can get up in the middle of my private stuff. I want you in every part of my life, God. Oh, that's going to be a complication now. If you got some places in your life you don't want him, it's going to be a problem. You got to have every door open, every window open, everything wide open. No secrets, no little hidden compartments. You can't have a secret bowl of banana pudding in there that you don't want God to get to. Open that up. Here it is, God. It's all yours. God, I give it to you. Come on, let's talk to him. Let's talk to him. Have your way, oh God. Empty me, oh God.
Empty me of anything that's not like you.
Shine the light of your word in my heart, oh God. Show me. Show me what you love, oh God. Show me what's important to you, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Has no limits. Fill me with.